never remain the same again. See, our lives will never remain the same again. Our lives will never remain the same again. Hallelujah. All right, take your seat. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, okay, according to our likeness, all right, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And it says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. All right, so we began a little bit of study in the first session. All right, just looking at the image of God. Amen. The image of God. All right, we see in Genesis 1 verse 26 that God's plan was to make man in his image, amen, and after his likeness. The word image there, salem, right, in the Hebrew, which means resemblance. Hallelujah. All right, the word likeness, demuth, all right, means similitude. All right, so he says, let us make man in our resemblance, okay, in our similitude. And in the world of theologians, this is called imago Dei. Amen. You know, this church is kind of like a Bible school. You observe that every week you learn new terms. Amen. All right. So theologians refer to this as the imago Dei, a Latin word which means image of God. Okay. The imago Dei. All right. So we said that the God fulfilled that plan, Genesis chapter 1. Several theologians have, you know, several opinions here and there, but we say no. Amen. Okay, what we have in Genesis chapter 1 is a partial revelation, a partial reflection, a partial image. All right. And you see that in verse 27. Okay, he says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And we said that cannot be Genesis 1:26 fulfilled. Amen. The image, the likeness in verse 27 is within a context, okay, the context of dominion. Remember Genesis 1:26, God had said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, so that is a context in which man was made in the image of God. Do you follow that? So he's giving dominion, authority over everything God made. Do you get it? The created world. The psalmist makes that clear. Psalm 8 verse 6. It says, you have made him, that is man, to have dominion over all the works of your hands. It says, you have put all things under his feet. Verse 7 says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field. 8 says, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the parts of the sea. Okay, so that is the context in which man was made in the image and in the likeness of God. Alright, so was man made in the image of God? Does man look like God? This is one of those trick questions, right? Yes and no. Do you get it? Alright, yes, in terms of dominion. Do you get it? Over the earth. So man is God's ambassador, right? Over the created world. Then no, in terms of God's full image. Do you follow that? The imago Dei. Alright, so man would look like God fully by eating from the tree of life. And that tree, we said, means or represented depending on God to receive life, right? Okay, so God made man with the volition, the will, the choice, right, to receive his image. Do you follow that? So God did not force his image on man. Then in Genesis chapter 3, you see that Satan, represented there by that serpent, tempts man right? And interestingly, the temptation is to look like God. Remember that? Okay. But look at this, to look like God without God. Do you get it? All right. And that is represented by the tree of knowledge, all right, of good and evil. And knowledge refers to man's own wisdom. Do you get it? Man's own craftiness, his own cunningness, okay? So man will try to look like God, okay, without God. That is what that tree represents, okay? And man falls, you know, he yields to that temptation, all right, to look like God without God. No, we call that pride, right? Rebellion, right? Okay, self-dependence, right? Okay, and interestingly, man now looks less and less like God. The irony. Satan tells him, you will look like God, right? But he begins to look less and less like God. We saw how, you know, man in sin is corrupted. Remember that? Okay, full of wickedness. Okay, from his heart, only evil proceeds. Okay, and God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Okay, so man in sin looks nothing like God. You know, God is perfect. Amen. That refers to moral uprightness. You know, he has never sinned, he will never sin. Amen. That is God. Okay, so man looks nothing like that. Okay, not only that, we also saw how men then began to make idols. Remember that? Okay, and we said an idol is giving God's image to objects. Do you get it? So that is blasphemy. Who was meant to bear the image of Yahweh? Man. Adam, right? Okay, then Adam takes that image, that Salem, that Demuth, okay, and he gives it to things of wood and stone. So that is an insult. He says, this looks like God. Do you see how depraved man is in sin? He looks at objects. When he is to be that image, then he looks at objects and says, this bears God's image, while I don't. That is so much of sin and depravity in the mind of man. Okay? Yet God cannot be stopped. Amen. He cannot be thwarted. What he plans to do, he will do irrespective of man. Alright, so throughout the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, we then begin to see God sort of recreate his image in man. Right? Remember what's all of that? Okay, through his spirit. Alright, so the spirit will come upon a man, then temporarily that man would look, act, talk, do, okay, like God. Alright, but we said the issue in the Old Testament is that the spirit never stayed. Okay, he never remained. He came, he left, he came, he left, he came, he left. Okay, so you have in the Old Testament image of God, image of sin, image of God, image of sin in the same person. Do you get it? Once the Spirit of God comes upon that man, you see the image of God upon him. Once the Spirit leaves that man, he returns back to the image of sin. You see that? Okay, so Imago Dei is present in the Old Testament, but temporal, okay, transient. Alright, but still, we saw that God makes promises through his prophets, right? Okay, that the time would come when his spirit would remain. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel tells us that, Jeremiah tells us that as well. It will give us a new heart, right? It will put his spirit within us. So when that happens, man's nature will be changed. Amen. So man will begin to look like God, okay? He will talk like God, act like God, do like God. Amen. You know, upon the earth. So that's a brief recap of all that we looked at in the previous session. So let's just move on quickly now, okay, into this session. Now you find the word seed, okay, seed, used in the Bible. S-E-E-D, okay, seed. Now that word is quite important, okay, particularly in the Old Testament. Quite important in scripture, the word seed. All right, zerah in the Hebrew, that's that word, z-e-r-a, okay, zerah. It literally refers to a seed, literally, okay, a seed which is sown to raise up crops or to grow crops. That's that word, zerah, literally, okay, as a seed which is sown to raise crops or to grow crops. Now, the first time you find this word in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1. Alright, now in Bible theology, there is a law of Bible interpretation called the law of first mention. Okay, the law of first mention. So what that means is that the first time a word, a concept, a phrase is used in the Bible, it carries significance. You get it? So the way the Bible is inspired, the first time you find the word used in the Bible, check how it is used. You get it? It carries a spiritual significance throughout the Bible. So when you see blood, how was blood used the first time? Do you get it? So that will inform blood throughout the Bible. When you see man, how was man used the first time? What was going on with man? When you see rock, okay, what was he speaking of? When you see spirit, do you get it? And so on and so forth. Water, fire, okay, and so on and so forth. So concepts, the first time they are mentioned in scripture, have a spiritual benefit. So seed is mentioned, first of all, Genesis 1, verse 11. Please, you may turn your Bible there, Genesis 1, 11. Okay, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed. Underline that, yield seed. That's the first time this word is used. And the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Underline that, according to its kind. Whose seed is in itself. Underline that. Whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. You see that? So seed has to do with producing fruit according to the kind. You see that? Okay, producing fruit, yielding fruit according to one's kind. Now the word kind used there, it translates the Hebrew word mean. M-I-N. Mean. Which means species. Okay, species. Okay, so what God means here is that the herbs would produce offspring. Do you get it? They will yield seed, offspring, okay, that look exactly like them. That is what it means by according to its kind. Do you follow that? Okay, so they will look exactly like them. They will carry their image, all right? So their image would be in their seed. Do you follow that? Their children, all right? So you can say that the seed of a thing carries its image. Do you follow that so far? Okay, when you see the first time seed is used, it is used for something that carries the image of another, right? Follow that so far? All right, thank you. Now, the next time you find that word seed is Genesis 3. Now, turn there, verse 15. Okay, after the fall of man, when God promises salvation. Genesis 3:15, okay? It says, and I'll put enmity between you, now that is the serpent, Satan, okay, and the woman. Now look at this. And between your seed, underline that, your seed, and our seed, underline that, our seed, okay? Now look at this. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now when you see seed here, Genesis chapter 3, remember your attention goes back, right, to Genesis 1, verse 11. Now remember that seed is what resembles another, right? Okay, so the seed of the serpent would be what looks like the serpent. You follow that? What looks like the serpent, what it produces. Now that would be sin. Do you get it? Sin will be the seed of the serpent. Then God speaks of the seed of the woman. Now the seed of the woman will be one who looks just like her. That is a man. Do you follow that? A man. Okay. Now you know this already speaks of the incarnation, right? God taking on human form. Okay. So you will find someone who will come who will be like a man. Look like a man. Now let me say this quickly, that is where the resemblance stops. Okay. In his humanity. That is where the seed of the woman looks like his mother, the woman, in his humanity. Now, you know that the seed cannot resemble the woman in sin. Right? Okay? Because he is coming to save from sin. Do you follow that? So, only in his humanity, okay, does he look like the woman. Actually, this seed will have to look like God. Amen? It would have God's image, then it would restore God's image back to mankind. Okay? Now, something else for you to think about. the Bible is written in what is called progressive revelation. So what that means is that Bible truths, Bible concepts are explained in more detail as you keep reading. Do you follow that? Okay, so Bible concepts get clearer and clearer as you trace those concepts through the Bible. Do you follow that? Okay, so that is progressive revelation. It's like a light that gets brighter and brighter. Do you get it? To your revelation. Okay, that's how the Bible was written. So, Genesis 3:15 informs the reader of a coming seed, right? Okay, the seed of the woman, a coming seed. Then the remainder of scripture explains who that seed is. Do you get it? So that is progressive revelation. The more you read from Genesis to Revelation, you find out who that seed is. Can I tell you follow that? Okay, thank you. So throughout the scriptures, you will find explanations of the concept of that seed. All right, its function and its characteristics. Now we find out through progressive revelation that that seed will come from the family of Abraham. Amen. God tells Abraham that. Genesis 22 verse 18. Let's see that quickly. Genesis 22 verse 18. It says, in your seed, or the line that your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Okay? Because you have obeyed my voice. Now when you hear seed, remember Genesis 3 verse what? 15. So you see progressive revelation. Do you see that? Genesis 22 verse 18 will explain Genesis 3 verse 15. So what God is saying here is that that coming seed will come from the family of the Hebrews. Do you see that? It will be a Jew by birth. Alright? Physically now, that speaks of his humanity. Alright? But do not be deceived. Amen. Don't be deceived. Alright? It might look like a man. It might come from the lineage of a man. Alright? But he is no mere man. Alright, the seed of the woman is God in the flesh. Amen. He's fully God. Okay, he bears the full image of God in mortal body. That is the seed of the woman. Look at Isaiah 9 verse 1. Please, I want you to see this, okay? Please turn your Bible there. Isaiah 9 verse 1. Isaiah 9:1, okay? It says, for unto us a child is born, okay? For unto us a child is born. You know, this is Christmas verse, right? Alright, unto us a son is given. Do you see that? Can we say a seed is given? A child? Is that seed? Offspring, come on, okay? And the government will be upon his shoulder, okay? And his name will be called, now look at this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Underline that. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Underline that. Everlasting Father. Okay. Prince of Peace. 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you see this child, this seed, okay, is called Mighty God. Do you see that? It's called Everlasting Father. Verse 6. Now you know you only use those terms for God. Do you follow that? You say a child will be born and you're calling a child Mighty God. You're calling a child Everlasting Father. What your Bible says, yeah, Bikuni. Do you get it? Is this someone that died and then it came back again? No, from the you say Baba Wa. I think they say Baba Tunde, right? That's the name. The father that died has come back again. Okay, he has reincarnated. That is not what is going on here. Do you get it? Whoever this child is God. Do you see that? He's called the Everlasting Father. Michael 5 is even more direct. He says about this seed that he has always existed. Hallelujah. Let's see that. Micah 5, 2. Micah 5, 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. Now that is Messiah. Do you get it? The Jews understood this. The one to be ruler in Israel is Messiah. Do you get it? Now look at this. Who's going forth, underline that, who's going forth are from of old. Underline that. Are from of old. Now look at this. From everlasting. So his going forth, his origins, the Hebrew says, are from old. Do you get it? Okay, from everlasting. That is, he has always been. Now you see a child who has always been. Who is that? That is God. Do you follow that? Only God has always been. So when Genesis 3 verse 15 speaks of the seed of the woman, it refers to the humanity of that seed. Do you get it? That is where that stops. Okay? It refers to the fact that that seed will be born of a woman. Do you get it? So it would resemble the woman in our humanity. That is, it will be a man. Simple. Sephany. Finish. That is where the resemblance ends. Do you get it? In his humanity. But Jesus would not resemble his parents in sin. Do you follow that? It will resemble his parents in natural things. Amen. It will be a man, right? The flesh of a man, right? The eyes of a man, right? Right? Come on. Talk like a man, right? Okay? All right? In his humanity, it will resemble his parents, but not in sin. Look at Philippians 2 verse 7. So it would have the likeness of man. Philippians 2 verse 7. Okay, speaking of Jesus, now I hope you know that that seed is Jesus, right? Okay, I don't have to try to convince you about that. That promised seed is Jesus the Christ. Okay, and look at Philippians 2 verse 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation. Now that is Jesus. Do you follow that? It says, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Underline that, the likeness of men. You see that? And being found in appearance as a man. Underline that, appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see that? So Jesus came, remember, in the family of the Hebrews, right? Okay, the Jews. Now in the likeness of man. Okay, in the appearance of a man. So that means that when you saw Jesus in the four Gospels, Jesus would talk like a man. Amen. It would eat like a man. It will sleep like a man. I just want to say it will go to the toilet. Amen? Like a man. That is not blasphemy. Amen? Do you follow that? Don't be scared. Say, just why you're there? Do you understand that? Jesus is a man. Do you follow that? Not blasphemy, okay? He acts like a man. So he looked exactly like a man in all respects. Do you follow that? If you saw him, if you touched him, you know, if you stab him with a knife, he will bleed. Do you get it? He's a man. In all respects, except one. What's that? Sin. Do you follow that? So, Jesus is actually that promised seed. Genesis 3:15. He is actually that seed of God. Okay? His image is resemblance. Do you follow that? So is the seed of the woman in the context of his humanity, right? Okay, but his very nature is the seed of God. Do you get it? So seed of the woman is a man, right? Human. In his nature, his power, his attributes, his characteristics is what? Seed of God. Do you follow that? His image is resemblance. You see that Jesus the Christ is called the Son of Yahweh. Psalm 2 verse 7. Let's see that quickly. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this, okay? Psalm 2 verse 7. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Psalm 2 verse 7. There now. Okay? It says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me. You see me there is capitalized, right? Okay, so D-A-D. Alright, you are my son, today I have begotten you. See that? You are my son, today I have begotten you. Okay, and this psalm actually refers to Jesus. Amen? Is that son. Paul tells us that Acts 13. Let's see that. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 13:33. Acts 13:33. Okay. It says, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as is also written in the second Psalm. Look at this. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Do you see that? Psalm 2 verse 7. So that Psalm is messianic. Do you see that? It is fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. Is that son, okay, how is he begotten? From the grave. Come on. Is raised to life. Now, I've told you several times in this church that that word son can mean several things. Right? You know, Bible words can mean several things based on the context in which they are used. Okay? So, son, in the Jewish thought, okay, is someone who resembles another. That is the son. Alright? An exact replica of another. Not necessarily someone who was given birth to. Do you get it? Although it could also mean that. So, when the Jew says son, you need to clarify. Amen? The Jew can call someone another son who was not born of him. Okay? But who acts like him. You see that in the Jewish rabbinic cultures, when someone disciples the child of another, he's called his father. Do you get it? He's not the one who gave birth to him, but he leads him in the way of God. Why? His father is, you know, absent-minded. He doesn't care about such things. The real father will be called the one who discipled him. Now, you know, that is not literal sonship, right? Okay? Simply means that I derived my way of living from this one. Do you get it? I look like this one. I resemble this one. I act like this one. I talk like this one, okay? So, when Jesus is called the Son of God, it essentially means that he looks like God. Do you follow that? He looks like God fully. Do you get it? That is why Messiah is called the Son of Yahweh. Do you get it? It means this one looks exactly like Yahweh. Do you get it? So he is the image of God. Jesus is Imago Dei. Praise the Lord. Okay, see Colossians 1 verse 15. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this, okay? Colossians 1 15. It says, he that being our Lord Jesus Christ, is the image, underline that, image of the invisible God. It says, the firstborn over all creation. The word image there is eikon in the Greek. E-I-K-O-N. You know, today that means HD. That's how best I can explain that to you. From the Greek. You know when they could say HD TV, right? HD phone. That's that word eikon. The exact image. Clearest image. Do you follow that? Purest image. Fullest image. Alright? So you can say Jesus is the HD. Hallelujah. Alright? Of the invisible God. He reveals him fully, clearly. Praise the Lord. Okay? It says the firstborn over all creation. That is Jesus. Can we say it's Imago Dei? Yes. See Hebrews 1 verse 3. Hebrews 1 3. It says, who, that is Jesus, being the brightness of his glory. Now that is God, okay? So Jesus is what? The brightness of his glory. You know, I love how the Greek says all of this, because the Greek finds a way of making it, you know, so much beautiful. You know, it's like saying the rays of light from the sun, okay, now that sun is God, now those rays of light is Jesus. Do you get it? Is the shining forth of his glory. Do you follow that? That is Jesus. It says, and the express image of his person. The word express image, or the phrase express image, character, okay, in the Greek, the fullest, clearest picture of another. That's that word. Jesus is his character. Do you follow that? Okay, to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. It says, of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged us and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus is the God that we can see. Do you follow that? You know, God is spirit. Amen. So being spirit, he cannot be seen, right? Okay. So he expresses himself through persons, right? Okay. So Jesus is that God that we can see. Hallelujah. So he is the clearest and the fullest reflection of God's character. That is Jesus. The fullest. It doesn't get better than that. Amen. See how Paul says this, 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. Learning so far? Okay. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. Are you there? Okay. It says, and without controversy, okay, that means this is what we all agree to be true. Amen. Christians. Okay. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Alright. It says, God was manifested, or you can say revealed, made known, shown, okay, in the flesh. Underline that. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. See that? Okay, that manifestation is Jesus the Christ, the promised seed, Genesis 3 verse 15. So when we look at Jesus, we see God's image fully. Amen. Fully. Alright. Remember with man, Genesis 1 27, there is an image, right? But a partial image. But with Jesus, you see the full image of God. So there is nothing we see and hear in Jesus that we won't see and hear in God. Do you get it? He's exactly like him. Look at John 1 1. John 1 1. Are you there? Okay, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And look at verse 14 of that same chapter. It says, and the Word, remember who's God, right? Okay, became flesh. Do you see that? Underline that, okay, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see that? So, Imago Dei is therefore achieved fully, okay, in the man Christ Jesus. You follow that? Imago Dei, it is achieved fully in the man Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, we find what man was supposed to look like. Amen. Genesis 1 verse 26. In word, deed, and also power. Do you follow that? In Christ Jesus, you see what God intended when he says, let us make man, right? In our image, according to our likeness. In word, deed, all right? And also power. So like I said, when we began this teaching, you can look at Imago Dei from several, you know, perspectives, but in this particular teaching we want to focus on power. Amen. All right, for this particular teaching, maybe in the future we'll look at the other perspectives to this. Amen. All right, now you see that Jesus being Imago Dei, okay, the image of God, operated in the fullness of the power of God. Amen. Jesus operated in the fullness of God's power, and the secret was the Spirit. That was the secret. Acts 10:38 tells us that. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You see that? Underline that. With the Holy Spirit and with power. You see that? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. You see that? So Jesus is anointed. Do you see that? With the Holy Spirit, that is, with power. So, the secret behind that power was the Spirit. Can we say similar to the Old Testament? Huh? Right? When the Spirit of God will come upon men, right? They will act like God, do like God, right? Okay? So, you see the same thing with Jesus. And remember that that Spirit had descended upon Jesus, Luke chapter 3, right? At his baptism. Let's see that. Luke 3, 21. Luke 3:21. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke 3:21. Luke 3:21. Are you there? Okay. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, okay? And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Look at 22. And the Holy Spirit did what? Descended in bodily form. What? Like a dove. Does he say that the Spirit was a dove? Huh? Okay, what figure of speech is that? Like? Simile. Do you see that? Okay, so he descended the way a dove descends. Do you get it? But it wasn't a dove. Amen? You know, this just delivered some people. You see, a church, the logo is a dove. Amen? Flying up. You know, so what is your your scripture for that? Luke 3:22. Okay? It says, it descended in bodily form like a dove. Okay? The way a dove alights. Amen? So it did that upon him. Underline that. Upon him. Alright? And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Amen. Okay, so you see that at the baptism of Jesus the Christ, the Spirit of God descends upon him. Now remember that the Spirit of God is God's very essence. Right? His nature, we've said, right? Ruach in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek. Okay, that is the Spirit of God, his very nature, his very essence. Now, when the Spirit of God comes upon a man, that man begins to act like God, right? It begins to do like God, right? It begins to walk in God's own abilities, all right? So, Jesus was full of power because of the Spirit. Do you follow that now? Okay, it was because that Spirit had descended upon him. Look at Luke 4:14. Look at how Luke says it there. Luke 4:14. It says, then Jesus returned in what? The power of the Spirit. Underline that. The power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. You see that? So it went what? The power of the Spirit. The Spirit was the secret behind that power. Okay, and you see that the ministry of Jesus is marked by miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Because of that Spirit. Look at Acts 2:22. The day of Pentecost, right? Okay. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Underline that. Miracles, wonders, and signs. You see that? Which God did through him. Underline that. God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. You see that? So Jesus worked miracles, wonders, and signs. How? God did it through him. How? By the Spirit. You see that? So in Jesus, we see a man who looks like God. Praise the Lord. Fully. Alright? Now, he looks like God in utterance. Remember, God speaks, right? Remember that? Look at John 3:34. Please, I want you to see this, okay? Please turn over there. John 3:34. Are you there? John 3:34. It says, for he whom God has sent, now that is Jesus, okay, speaks the words of God. Underline that. Speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. You see that? Look at John 8:47. It says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You see what he does here, John 8:47. It refers to what he says as the word of God. Do you see that? That is what he says, that's what he refers to as God's words there. Okay, what he's saying. So it refers to his words, his statements, okay, as the word of God. So every word that Jesus spoke, he spoke inspired by God. Do you see that? Not a single word was uttered by Jesus that wasn't inspired by God. Look at John 12:49. It says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." You see that? "But the Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should say," underline that. "What I should say and what I should speak," underline that. "What I should speak." Now 50 says, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Come on. See that there? All right. See John 14 verse 10. John 14:10. It says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" So you see, they were one. Come on. You see that? Okay. Perfectly united. It says, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority." You see that? "But the Father who dwells in me does the works." You see that? So Jesus speaks like God. Come on. Okay. Not only that, he also sees like God. Amen. Okay, he sees like God. He resembles God in revelation. Now, when you read the four Gospels, you often find that phrase whereby Jesus knew the secrets of men's hearts. Right? On the four Gospels, you always find that phrase. He speaks of Jesus knowing people's hearts. Look at Matthew 12:25. Run through now. Matthew 12:25, okay? It says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts," underline that, "knew their thoughts, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Look at Matthew 22:18. It says, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness," underline that, "perceived their wickedness," so he could sense it. Come on. Okay, "and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Look at Mark 2:8. Okay, Mark 2:8. It says, "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit," underline that, "perceived in his spirit," or sensed in his spirit, okay, "that they reasoned thoughts within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart?" You know, only God can do this. Do you know that? Only God knows the secrets of a man's heart. Okay? But here you see Jesus do the same. Look at Luke 6 verse 8. Similarly there. Luke 6 8. Are you there? Okay? "But he knew their thoughts." Underline that. "Knew their thoughts. And said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood." Do you see that? So he knew the secrets in the hearts of men. Now, how did he know their heart? By the Spirit. Do you see that? So because of the Spirit that descended upon Jesus, Jesus then began to see like God. Remember, he's a man. Do you get it? Now you have a man who sees exactly like God. Okay? He knows things about the present. He knows things about the past. Just like God. In John chapter 4, you see Jesus interacts with that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, right? And he knew things about her. Let's see that. John 4 verse 16. It says, "Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here." So you see, smart. You know, in law, they call this a leading question or a compound question. Do you get it? You know, like you ask a man, you see, lawyers are very evil, quite wicked. You say, "When did you stop beating your wife?" Oh, you don't get it. "When did you stop beating your wife?" So, your answer will reveal that you used to beat your wife. Do you get it? "When did you stop?" So, that is what Jesus is doing, a compound question. Okay, it will lead to something else. Lawyers, a necessary evil. Amen. John 4:16, okay? Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And look at 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Aha! Do you get it? Cross-examination, yo. Star Chelsea understands what I mean. He's It's catching us more and more. He says, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said well. Aha. Motimue. Okay. I have no husband. 18 says, for you have had 5 husbands. Do you get it? And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. See that? So he knew things. Jesus. Do you see that? He knew things. Past and present supernaturally. Not only that, Jesus could also see into the future. He could know things about the future supernaturally. In Luke chapter 19, he instructs his disciples to go and get a colt, right? And he knew exactly where it would be found. Exactly. Let's see that, okay? Luke 19 verse 29, as we begin to close. Luke 19 verse 29. Okay? It says, and it came to pass, then he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you. Now look at this. Where as you enter, you will find a colt tied. Now how did he know this? Okay? On which no one has ever sat. Ha! Let's say he saw the colt. How did he know? No one has ever sat on it. It says, lose it and bring it here. Look at 31. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So he also knew that people might ask. And look at 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. Underline that. Okay? 33 says, but as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you losing the colt? Just as he had said. Do you see that? 34, and they said, the Lord has need of it. 35, then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. See that? So he knows things supernaturally by the Spirit. Then lastly, Jesus also did like God. Remember we've seen he speaks like God, right? Spoke like God, he sees like God, right? Okay, now we also deal like God. Okay, Jesus was Imago Dei in power. Hallelujah. It was Imago Dei, the image of God in power. In John chapter 2, he turns water to wine. Let's see that. John 2 verse 6 as we close. John 2 6. Okay, it says, now they were set there 6 water pots of stone. Now, remember the background of this. He went to that wedding at Cana, right? Okay, so the wine ran out. His mother came, you know, employed him and all of that. All right, so look at this. It says, water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. All right, so the Jews add these large water stones, water pots of stone, okay, that was used to cleanse, to wash the feet. You know, the Middle East is quite dusty. Alright, so when they get into the homes, they have these large water pots of stone that were used for purification. You get it? Just clean themselves. Alright, so that is what is referred to here. Verse 7. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Okay? And he said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast, and they took it. So, you know, quite interesting. As they are drawing it out, they are looking at water. Look at 9. When the master of the feast had tasted, he says he tasted what? The water that was made wine. Do you see that? So till it got to the man, it was still water. Once it got to him, it changed to wine. Okay? And did not know where he had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. Okay, so they give out good stuff. Then when folks no more control of their senses, then they give them cheap wine. Do you get it? So that was, you know, it's like you hide rice. That's what they do today, right? In Nigeria, I'm bringing that home. I remember I saw a video. Someone was asked to cater, and then she took. She said meat finished, and then he went to her house. And they saw water pots of meat, similar to this, not water now, water pots of meat. She, and I'm wondering, this is some greed, because can you alone finish all of this? Honestly, you can finish. If I call all your generation, let's say you call all your children, your neighbors, that thing, it was so much, you can't finish it. Do you get it? So that's what's happening here. Similar to what's happening here, okay? They give the guests the good wine, right? Then when they are drunk, they no longer know what's going on, then the inferior, the one mixed with water, amen, cheap. Alright? It says, but you have kept the good wine until now. Hallelujah. So the wine was so good. Praise the Lord. Okay? 11 says, this beginning of signs. You see that John calls the miracles of Jesus signs. Okay, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Okay, so it transforms. You know, science can't explain this. It can't. This is the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. Okay, not only that, he cast out demons and healed sick bodies. Look at Matthew 8 verse 16. Matthew 8:16. Oh, thank you, Lord. Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Hallelujah. Underline that. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Underline that. Healed all who were sick. You see that? You see that earlier in verses 14 to 15 of that same chapter, he had healed the mother-in-law of Peter. You see that verse 14, it says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, or he laid hands on her, okay? And the fever left her, hallelujah. And she arose and served them. You see that? So he heals sick bodies. He casts out demons. Similarly, Matthew 4, let's see that quickly. As we close, Matthew 4 verses 23 to 25. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness. Underline that, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Hallelujah. Underline that, all kinds of disease, okay, among the people. 24 says, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Hallelujah. Underline that, he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, that is 10 towns, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. You see that? He heals bodies. He casts out demons. He also raised the dead. Luke 7 verse 12 to 15. Let's see that quickly. Luke 7, 12 to 15. Jesus raised the dead. Luke 7, 12 to 15. Okay? It says, and when he there being Jesus the Christ, came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. You see that? So she's a widow, alright, and that is her only son. You know, in the Jewish culture, that is a death sentence. Okay? In a highly patriarchal society, okay, she doesn't have any man, you know, to fight for her rights in that home. Alright? It says, and a large crowd from the city was with her. 13 says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Hallelujah. See that? He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? He sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. You see that in John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. John 11:43 to 44. John 11 43 to 44 as we close now. Okay, John 11 43 to 44. It says, now when he has said these things, he there being Jesus, okay, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come out. Okay, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloths, okay, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. You know, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, right? Okay, yet he is raised from the dead by the power of God. So you see with Jesus that just like the prophets of old, the prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus walks like God. Amen. In utterance, in revelation, and in power. Do you see that? You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of Yahweh will come upon the prophets, right? They will talk like him, see like him, do like him, right? Okay, now we see similarly with Jesus. The Spirit of God comes upon Jesus at his baptism, right? Okay, then we see him speak like God, see like God, and also do like God. But there is a difference. Okay, now what is that difference? Simple. Unlike the Old Testament prophets, Jesus has the fullness of the Spirit. Okay? The fullness of the Spirit. Look at John 3 verse 34. John 3:34. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this. John 3:34. It says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. You see that? Can we say he talks like God? Okay? Now look at this. For, or because, God does not give the Spirit by measure. Underline that. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now the word measure here is that word, metron. Remember that word? Okay, metron, which means in part. Little by little. Okay? Now, this statement refers to Jesus and to Jesus only. Do you follow that? Okay, it was to Jesus that the Spirit wasn't given in measure. Do you get it? That is referring, that statement here refers to Jesus. Verse 34 shows that. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given what? All things. Underline that. All things into his hand. You see that? So that refers to Jesus. It was to Jesus that the Spirit wasn't given in part. Unlike the Old Testament. Do you follow that? So nothing is withheld from Jesus. That's what he's saying there. Do you follow that? Absolutely nothing. Okay? When it comes to the Spirit. Nothing is withheld from Jesus when it comes to the Spirit. So Jesus enjoys the fullness of God's Spirit. Now, in two ways. First of all, in duration. Okay? In duration. That is, the Spirit of God stays with Jesus forever. You get it? As opposed to the Old Testament. That's what it means by the Spirit wasn't given to him in measure. Do you follow that? So, unlike the Old Testament, the Spirit of God does not come upon Jesus and leave. Do you get it? He stays with him forever. So in duration, he enjoys the fullness of the Spirit. Now, not only that, also in intensity. Okay? Intensity. So what Jesus could do by the Spirit was unlimited. That's what that means. Okay? He wasn't limited in what he could do by the Spirit. So do you see that in Christ Jesus, Imago Dei is realized? Do you see that? Fully. And permanently, not temporarily, like in the Old Testament. So you understand now why it's called the image of God, right? The fullest, clearest picture of God in a man. But you know, it can't stop with Jesus. Hallelujah. It can't stop with Jesus. What was God's plan? Genesis 1, 26. Let us make what? Man. Do you follow that? Mankind, humanity. So, Genesis 1:26 has not been fulfilled even in Jesus. Do you get it? Okay, it will be fulfilled, realized completely when we find several men, hallelujah, who are exactly like him. Then you will have Imago Dei. Praise the Lord. Okay, man, mankind, humanity in the image of God. So in Christ, God will bring that plan to pass. Hallelujah. Okay, so we'll just stop here, you know, and then we'll look much more, you know, in this conference, how that happened. Amen. How God in Christ has now given men Imago Dei. Are you blessed? I lift you and give him praise. We continue from here. Thank you.